When I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother bought me a cute little toy. Silver bells hanging on a string. She told me it was my ding-a-ling-a-ling-o.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-o.
Welcome to Doc's Freedom Files.
Freedom. Keep walking, keep on your toes, and don't stop talking about freedom.
This is the Most Reverend Doc, here once again to address gun control. I am moved in the spirit to do this after reading that my fellow man of the cloth, that pinnacle of the ecumenical, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, informed America that semi-automatic rifles are a national security threat. He said that they can shoot down airplanes and blow up railroads. Railroads, mind you, not just the odd locomotive or caboose. I quail in fright for our brethren at Amtrak and Union Pacific. Perhaps out of concern for the sensibilities of the nation, the Reverend Jackson didn't explain that these rifles can also shoot down satellites, destroy cities, and sink continents. Have you seen Smith & Wesson's new Sputnik, Nagasaki, or Atlantis models? No, folks, as you know, I'm not a reverend, but neither am I an old fraudster like Jesse. When the anti-gun lobby scrapes the bottom of the barrel to drag out a vintage reprobate like Jackson, you know they are getting desperate. When a hoary, liberal has-been like Jackson resorts to out-and-out fantasies about airplanes, railroads, and rifles, you know he's reached a new nadir of irrelevancy. Airplanes and railroads, indeed. This is Doc Toops wishing you life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Okay, EBT is basically about electronic benefit transfer, and it's basically about welfare and having children and just for money, just for the state, so the state of California can pay for WIC, GR, food stamps, daycare. I mean, the state of California, if you want EBT, the state of California is the best place to get your money. They'll pay you the most. And yeah, it's like $221 for GR and about $179 for food. That's for each person. So yeah, you get free daycare, you get free food. You can go to fast food restaurants now. Domino's Pizza is accepting EBT. McDonald's, I haven't saw a sign for McDonald's. Subway, you can take your EBT card. Like, you get $221 in cash. You get free daycare. So if you have four kids or six kids, you get money for free daycare. So all of them can go to daycare. Most people, they have their friend as the daycare person, and they split the money. I heard all about it. And they split the money for that. And then you have the cash that they give you, and then the lights and gas and the free home. I mean, who would want to work in America? This is what the taxpayers are paying for.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench, coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench. And here we are, and welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 25th of November, and it's Monday. I hope everybody had a great weekend. We've got several things lined up for you tonight. I think it'll be a pretty good show. But we're preparing to be snowed in here. We spent the afternoon getting wood up and getting the car squared away and everything and making sure the animals are taken care of. According to the weather apps, we're supposed to get some pretty serious weather. And I'm not doubting that, because right now the wind is blowing its howl. It's not just blowing. I mean, it is freaking howling out there. It's bad. And so I have no question whatsoever that it's blowing up a front here. So we've got everything ready to hunker down here for a couple of days if we have to. They're talking about, let me bring this up again here real quick and see if it's changed. They were talking about as much as, I think, 30 inches here where we're at. Let me bring this up real quick and see. It's been changing frequently here. Let's see. Winter storm watch starting at 3:49 this afternoon, going until midnight Saturday. So that's not good. This is a while. So it's saying heavy snow possible. Travel will be very difficult to impossible. Total snow accumulations 4 to 12 inches from 4,500 to 6,000 feet, with 12 to 27 inches above 6,000 feet. And our house is sitting right at 7,000. So, you know, I'm looking at a strong possibility of getting 2 feet here in the next day or so. Localized amounts up to 40 inches over the highest peaks are possible. We've got a 10,000 foot peak just down the road here, 10 miles or so. So we're kind of in between all that. So let's see. From Thursday morning, oh, this is another place. That was, okay, yeah, that's all covering our area there. Okay, looks like fun. And it's going to be all over northern Arizona. Everything from, there's 14 to 20 inches in Chino Valley, Flagstaff 27 to 35, up where Finicums live, up in Fredonia and Kanab, and up in there, Grand Canyon, 14 to 20 inches. North rim of the Grand Canyon, 22 to 30 inches. So we're going to get hit pretty hard here over the next couple of days. So anyway, we're going to be trying to stay dug. I tell you what I need to do tomorrow before it snows. I need to get my cotton picking tire chains dug out and make sure they're straightened up and squared away, because we may be needing them. Anyway, let's move on here. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, and I want to try to get it done here in this evening. That show that Amy is doing right now is it's an older show, and we thought, since we've tried so hard to get all this stuff done and got in so late and everything, and Amy was tired, so they said, well, I went through her old archives and found one that is, I thought was pretty good. I actually remember the show. It was pretty good. We talked about, you're listening to it. Or you listened to it. All right. Let's, no particular order here. Some of you are familiar with Stag Arms. Stag Arms was the, I think the leader in making left-handed AR-15s. And they still do. They're not the only ones that do, but I believe they were among the first, if not the first. They make pretty good guns. They make other AR-15s too. But anyhow, they are moving now from, I think they were in Connecticut. Yeah. They're moving to Cheyenne, Wyoming. They're going where the freedom is. And like so many other companies did, Bushmaster, Remington, several of them have moved from communist controlled areas into where the freedom is. So on Stag's website, it says that they specialize in the advancement of AR firearms platforms. Having pioneered the first left-handed modern sporting rifle, the Stag Arms team continues to develop around different calibers on the AR platform for both our right and left-handed customers. So there you go. If you're a Southpaw, if you're one of Satan's spawn there, then go get you a Stag Arms AR-15. I haven't got all the gun stuff clumped together. They're just kind of all mixed up here, so we're just going to kind of all play them as mixed up as they are. I don't know if you guys have been watching what's going on in Hong Kong or not. Excuse me. But there have been some monumental protests there. It has been serious. And the U.S. Senate now has passed a bill that is supporting the Hong Kong, the protesters and what they're doing over there. And China's ticked off about it. They're not happy at all. So, you know, this is one more thing to add to the many things that we have coming up over the next year. By the way, the sheriff's race is about to be up and running and we've been doing a little bit of stuff, but we're trying to get a war plan here as we're getting going here. So we do have the PayPal deal set up on the website. The website is copeforsheriff.com. Copeforsheriff.com. If you want to go check that out and see what all that, of course, y'all already know what I stand for and what I do. So if you want to go refresh your memory on any of it, well, go check that out. Let's see. I've got to stop doing this. I get all these things lying. I tell you this every time, and I try to explain why we have these problems. But I see these things on the phone, and they don't show these ad blockers and stuff that, or they don't have the thing saying, well, you've used up your free views, so you gotta buy a membership or something. That never shows up on my phone. But, at any rate, we have, let's see here. In Utah, we have, school members there and staff that are training to stop potential active shooters. They're running these guys, these teachers and administrators and whatever through some classes, and they are police, sheriff's department operated classes. And this was actually in one particular place in Utah County, the Utah County Sheriff's Department. And this was only, when was it, 14th of this month, I think, 13th or 14th, when there was remember the shooting in Santa Clarita, mm-hmm. California? So, and we're going to see more of that. I'm convinced. I used to not be on this conspiracy bus quite so much, but it has become crystal clear, abundantly clear, that these shootings are becoming very predictable. When certain legislation is passed or not passed or something is happening, you know, you can pretty well count on a shooting of some kind, mass shooting somewhere. So hang on, let me see what's, never mind, that's not nothing of interest here. So anyway, good on Utah for doing this. They're not the only ones doing it. Let's see, Idaho. Also, Idaho District buying rifles and warns visitors that they are armed. This is in Garden Valley, Idaho. They're arming themselves and a handful of staff members with guns in case of potential security threats. According to the district school board minutes, the district has purchased 4 rifles and 2,000 rounds of ammunition. Boy, they're planning to hole up like the Reichstag in Berlin, huh? The district is also considering spending up to $2,000 to purchase extra magazine rounds. Magazine rounds? Maybe they better get somebody in there that knows what they're doing. $2,000 to purchase extra magazine rounds
and body armor vests, according to the school board documents. Magazine rounds. I ain't sure what magazine rounds are. We'll have to just wait and see, I guess. Each rifle was purchased for $680. And they're talking about protecting their kids, not wanting to do it in a haphazard manner. They're getting some training and doing what many other schools ought to be doing. So far, the community around there, they say they've welcomed these plans, and it's all been positive. They haven't seen a single community member at the time that this was written to come in and say, why are you doing this? So everybody seems to be on board, and it's moving along smoothly, and that's a very good thing. Obviously, they say they hope they never have to use them, and that's certainly we all do that carry, but if we ever need them, we're going to need them very badly. Okay, moving right along. Let me move this over here. It's out of order now, so let's look at this one here. This is an interesting thing. When I was in Virginia, I'm not sure what Virginia is like now, but there were quite a few states back east that did not allow hunting on Sundays at all of any kind. And this is, you know, coming from the very states where the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and everything was, you know, the people that put all this together come from this part of the country. These are the states that where all this was born. And I can't imagine why in the world they're coming up with laws, or they did come up with laws, that you can't hunt on Sundays. Does that mean you're supposed to? Probably not. The many times that I have, you know, there's, as I look back at it, there's probably a lot of times that I shouldn't have. But that's my decision. That's not the government's decision. So I realize that this is the heart of the Bible Belt where a lot of this happened. And those people tried desperately to force their will on everyone and their religious beliefs on everyone there. And, you know, it's fine to be whatever religion you want to be, do whatever you want to do for whatever reason, have no problem whatsoever as long as it's not harming anyone or infringing on anyone else's rights. I could not possibly care any less. But when you try to push it on me, try to push it on the general public, that becomes a problem. So Pennsylvania now, they're passed a bill. It's headed to the governor's desk. And this was 10 days ago, so I'm not sure if he's signed it yet or not. But that will end Pennsylvania's ban on Sunday hunting. And I believe it passed unanimously. Let me check. Maybe it didn't. No, it didn't. It had a single no vote last month in the House, and the Senate was 38 to 11. So that's a pretty good margin there. And the reason that they gave, they gave all the wrong reasons for this. Not one of them mentioned the Constitution and what the government has the right to do, the authority, the jurisdiction to do, and what they don't. What they said, they were all good responses, good answers, good excuses. But not one of them mentioned what they should have. They said weekends are only the free time for a lot of hunters. If people have to work 5 days a week, that only gives them Saturday to hunt. So that's a legitimate concern. It really is. But it's not the right answer. So if you happen to work, 4 10s and you're off Friday and Saturday, well, that's a little better. Says those 2 days are essentially the only time that most working men and women can get out in the woods. The same could be said for many young people who have to go to school and the sporting events and all this stuff going on. They have activities that they truly love, and they have one day a week to do it. So if they choose on their own to hunt on Sundays, that should be their decision and their decision only, not the government's. So I'm glad to see that. I'm not glad for the reasons that they gave, but I am glad that it's going to be passed here. This is a good thing. Okay, let's I think what I need to do is throw a song on here real quick, and then we'll come back here with something else. So if you will stand by here with me for just a second, I'll be back. Back already. You know, I'm not big into rap at all. I actually despise it. But that song right there, I still don't like rap. But that song right there is pretty good. It's got a little bit of rap in it, but I like the subject matter. And the video is awesome. It's a great video. So anyway, let's move on here before we take a real honest-to-goodness serious break here in a little bit. We'll do that just as soon as I find where I was at. There we are. All right. Okay, now here's something you guys need to put down what you're doing and pay attention here. This is a serious matter. You know, we are in so deeply involved, entrenched in this modern society, this modern
world of technology here with our phones and our tablets and our pagers are so way outdated now. People don't even know what they are. But, the computers and all these personal devices and things we have, it's unbelievable how much stuff there is out there and how utterly dependent and reliant we are on them, whether it's for entertainment or work or, a combination of the two. I've got, numerous things. I do some of it for entertainment. I do a lot of my campaign stuff on there. I spend a lot of time on Facebook trying to get that stuff underway and checking out the news. I get, well over half of my stories from Facebook. But anyway, we take these things to airports and motels and all these places where we are subject to be stuck in line or doing something for a little while. And what happens when your phone goes dead? Well, before we get into this story, let me tell you what you should do. You should get one of these little, I'm not sure what they even call them, but they're big batteries, basically, is what they are. And some bigger than others. Some of them is not much bigger than, probably a two packs of gum side by side. Not very big at all, and because of that, you don't get a whole lot of charge out of them. Some of them, I've got one that's probably 5 inches long and 2 inches or so wide, about 3/4 inch thick or so. It's a little bigger than you want to carry in your shirt pocket all the time, but to drop it into a backpack or something, if you're going to be going to, let's say, a football game or a trade show or a craft show or something where, you can't just sit down and charge your phone somewhere, then carry one of those things because, number one, they're more convenient than plugging into somebody else's power, and they're safe. You can actually use it while you're charging, while you're walking, while you're watching the football game or whatever. Safe, you say. What is unsafe about using somebody else's stuff? Well, let me explain this to you. We now have people, these crooks are not stupid. These people are incredibly clever. So they've come up now with little inserts in some of these charging ports in airports and stuff like that. And they've also come up with some cables that they give away as promotional deals and stuff. In those cables, in some of them, they have little things, a little chip of some kind, that when you plug it into your phone, that it uploads all your information to their device or their website or server or whatever the hell it is. I don't know. So this free charge that you get may wind up draining your bank account. Sounds a little outrageous, but they have mucho documentation here of this happening. It's called juice jacking. And this happens when some unsuspecting user like yourself plugs their device into a USB port or uses one of those cables I told you about. And these cables have been loaded with what they call malware. And then it infects the devices and gives the hackers a way in. So they can then read, export all your data, including your passwords, whatever you've got stored in there, even lock it up so that you can't use it anymore. So this juice jacking, they're always exploiting you in some way. They're always trying to find some way where you are vulnerable. And this is one of them. They exploit the fact that you don't have a full battery and that they're going to try to, you're going to plug in somewhere. So, they've cautioned against also using USB cable. You just find one in a port somewhere, airport. I keep using airport because I've seen those things a lot of times. But and there's a cable plugged in and just laying there, and nobody around. Well, hell, let me plug my phone into that real quick. Nobody's around. I'll just take the cable with me. And so when people see it, they don't really think about this with
any malicious intent. They don't see it as having, you know, some malicious, you know, this malware or whatever they call it. You know. So obviously using your own cable is one way to protect. Using well-known protected ports, but the very best way is to carry your own charging device, your own battery. Those things are really cheap nowadays. You can get all kinds of sizes, everything from something very light and easy to throw in a shirt pocket that just gives you these big energy consuming smartphones. You know, it may only charge it up halfway or less, but it gives you plenty enough to finish what you need to do and get back to the car or get back to home or whatever. And that one I told you about that I have, it'll charge my smartphone probably between 3 and 5 times. It's got a lot of juice in it. And that is the only logical, completely safe way to do this. Now, I say completely safe. Is it possible that a manufacturer could do that? And I guess I take that back. Because no, it's not feasible. I don't say it's not possible. But the thing is, these are not hooked up. They're not online. They're too small to have, you know, it's got to connect to Wi-Fi or do something to transmit that data. Or they have to pick it up somewhere. They could do this in some of these charging ports. They have inserts in there that you plug into. It uploads everything into a chip, into an SD card. And they just come along later after hours or something and retrieve that SD card and everything is already downloaded or a chip of some kind. Or uploaded, I should say. Buyer beware. Charger beware. All right, and moving right along here, let's see. Oh, this is a pretty good story. I think what we'll do, since this is a pretty good story, I think what we'll do is take an honest-to-goodness real hard break here, and then we'll come back in a minute and continue to march. So stay with me.
I'll be back.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
They want to take my guns away.
And I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. Few rights that man is born with, and it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed. Without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane ramp on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answer to what I'd done. Hooks today, but forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. A burning hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be. From whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to, please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves: are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Let's finish this thing up and get on with our business here. Let me get over here to my stories, my very own stories. Some of you, you know, one part of me wants to not tell you this story. The other part tells me, yeah, go ahead. And the yeah, go ahead one. So you're going to hear this story. A lot of you remember, especially those of you up in Idaho and Washington and up in there, up in the Pacific Northwest. Remember Brandon, what the heck was his name? Brandon, man, if I could just get this, I hate it when this does this. Brandon, dadgummit. I will find it here for you because inquiring minds want to know. So I'll go over here and find it on my other device here. I can't believe Brandon Curtis. Why the heck couldn't I think about that? Anyway, he was the chief cook and bottle washer of the Idaho 3% up there. And he was at the refuge for a little while, and I think they finally, he left before anything happened. They went over there and tried to take charge and wound up, you know, circling the wagon, so to speak, and just kind of made a fool of himself. And consequently, the 3% right along with him. Well, anyway, he is now also, I brought this name up again. You remember back when they had a couple of shootings at the recruiters' headquarters, and everybody was up in arms here and wanted to stand guard in front of the recruiters' headquarters. Well, Brandon put a couple of his guys out there in different places, and I know that they have had at least two firearms accidents. I think one with injuries and one with not, if I'm not mistaken. And the one that had no injuries was actually at one of these recruiting stations. And it was, now why this guy was out there with a chambered rifle, I have no earthly idea. No responsible militiaman should be out on a call a duty like this and have your rifle chambered, period. No exceptions, unless there are bad guys coming across the street and they have ignored all warnings to stop whatever you think you might be engaging, then, yeah, that's a different story. But just standing guard at the recruiter station, no, absolutely not under any circumstances. So this guy pounded around into the concrete, older guy, and, of course, like everything else they did, they made it bad for the rest of them and for the rest of us. And then the recruiters, I think the Army, I don't know about any of the rest of the services, but I know the Army did, put out a deal telling them that, that they couldn't stop them from standing guard and all that, but they had nothing to do with it. They don't support it and didn't want them coming in the building, didn't want them on the property and all of this. This is all because of one or more firearms accidents during their guard duty, which is totally so cotton picking unacceptable. So anyway, back to the reason the whole story started here. He's losing his right to own and possess firearms because this started quite a while back, and we may have even talked about it on the show at some point. I don't remember, but it turns out he is a thief. He has he's pled guilty actually to a felony count of grand theft, and people convicted of felonies obviously lose their right to own possess firearms. So he was a police officer at one point in northern Idaho and was accused of not while he was a police officer, but after that, what he's in trouble for is bilking his clients of his former property management company of over $98,000. So in exchange for his guilty plea on the 13th of this month, the prosecutors agreed to drop 18 additional charges of grand theft. So he was originally charged with one count of grand theft for each of the victims, but they dropped them all but one if he would agree to plead guilty for the one. So Anyway, they've been given a suspended sentence and no jail or prison time yet. We'll see what happens here. So anyway, that's what's going on with Brandon Curtis. One of the Brandon Curtis's victims here said he stole $2,170 from him in rent and deposit. What he'd do is collect rent and stuff from these people and use it, put it in his personal account, and then they'd wound up getting, you know, kicked out or whatever because the rent wasn't paid. And so, you know, he's just a thief. Bottom line, that's simple as that. All right. Now then, there's an entire school district in Colorado around Grand Junction, 46 schools in this school district. And here, just in the last, when was it? Let me see here. Just in the last 4 days, 4 days ago, they shut down every single one of these schools due to an unknown virus that was spreading among the students and the district's employees. They don't know where it came from, but it was pretty serious. I guess these kids were, you know, puking their guts out and everything and having to go home. And it was just a bad deal. The teachers were having to go home right in the middle of their shift. I guess it was real like some form of food poisoning or something here. It was just really eating them up. But, at any rate, they, closed all the schools. I haven't heard if they've opened them back up. It doesn't say. There's, let me check here. Let me check this story. Let's see if there's an update here. There is not an update. Schools districts will continue to work to disinfect the schools during the closure. And that's what they've got going on right now. So this takes us back again to what? That's right. Colloidal silver. Very good. I got a guy today. I've known him for a little while. I wouldn't say he's a friend, but he's actually a guy that I go and one of several places where I go and help this property management company do some handyman work and stuff in between the other stuff that I do. And he's got this bronchial stuff going on and having a hell of a hard time. And it's been there since August, and the doctors haven't been able to do anything about it. And they've given all these antibiotics. And I said, you know what? You need to be on colloidal silver. He says, oh, I am. I got this colloidal silver, and I put in this little thing, and I breathe it at night. And I said, well, that's good. But, and he shows me this little bottle. And it might have been 4 ounces, but I think it was probably less, three and a half. And I scanned the barcode on it, brought it up online. It was $30 for that little bottle. And I said, dude, you've got to listen to me. Okay. You're using this silver because of what he's doing. He's putting a few drops in this nebulizer and breathing it. And yeah, it may help, but it's not giving him nearly what he needs for that. And he was not taking it prior to getting this, which we all know if he would have been, he wouldn't have got it to start with. So anyway, he was very receptive to the stuff that I was telling him, and he wants, you know, a generator and wants to get started making his own. He wants to do it like yesterday. He is sick and tired of this illness that he's got, and he is absolutely ready to do, you know, pretty much anything in the world that he can possibly do to get rid of this. So I'm going to meet with him tomorrow and get him set up with a little bit of silver that's already made and get his generator to him and everything so he can start doing his own. So that's, I don't know if there's any kids in this school district that are taking silver or not. If my kids were there, they obviously would have been. But, anyway, that's what's going on in Grand Junction, Colorado right now. This is the second time I've heard of this happening. It may have been many more times than that, but this is only the second time that I've heard of. This is a guy that was flying a little single action, little Piper Cub. In Madison, Minnesota, I believe it was. Yeah, the Twin Cities. And he hit a power line and hit it in such a way that, you know, no sparks, no explosion, no flipping the plane over and throwing it on the ground, no slingshotting it across town or anything like that. He's just hanging upside down by his wheels tangled up in this wire. And I could imagine that he's hanging upside down in this thing. You know what's running down his shirt collar and everything right now? Yeah, I know what it'd be if I was in there. But anyway, they de-energized the lines and everything. Fire department went in there. It took them a little while to get him untangled and get him out of there and get a crane. Obviously, they had to shut the power lines down to get the crane in there and get the plane out of there and rescue the guy. No injuries. He wasn't hurt, you know, a little bit shook up. But oddly enough, he was these pictures are pretty funny. But he walked away from it without a scratch. See, the pilot was, he's 65 years old. Said he was not injured. Of course, the FAA is now investigating it to see what's going on. I'd say there's nothing anywhere to indicate there's no marking on these power lines. And I don't know how close they are to an airfield or to where he normally lands or to his house or what the situation was, you know, what brought this on. But good news is, the guy's not hurt, walked away, probably significantly embarrassed, probably going to get a pretty good bill from the county or the state or something, and definitely a learning experience for this guy. All right, here, let me see. Let me check and see how much time we got. Okay, we got just about, you know what, I'm going to save this story because I want to spend some time. This is a gun-related story, and it's going to take a little longer than we have tonight, and I know if I stretch things out too far that DeTinker has to doctor them up and try to get them brought back down to somewhere pretty close to an hour. So by the time we get the clothes done and everything here, I'm not doing laundry, by the way. I mean the clothes of the show. That's what I'm talking about. By the time we get all that done, it's going to be right about time. So I'll be back Wednesday with this gun-related article. This has to do with homemade guns and their effectiveness and how futile some of these, are all of these gun restrictions and prohibitions and laws and stuff are. So that will be coming up Wednesday. The next time you hear this voice behind the golden plastic TSB microphone here. So I'm out of here, and I'll see you guys Wednesday. Thanks for joining me.
Well, that wraps up another edition of The Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for The Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all.